Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
An Erios production.
Menopause is coming and the men have all left town, but I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. 39 and single, can someone help me out? He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay to straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need sperm cast.
Okay, everybody, are you ready for me to thank my latest Patreon subscribers? Aaron L, Sarah Jane P, Beck S, Gunlise H, Olivia, Bethany M, Courtney W, Brittany E, Mackenzie H, Nancy O, Courtney T, Desiree B, Zenobia M, Ashley J, Melissa T, Sarah M, Maria M, Elizabeth F, Anonymous, and Randy D. Oh my goodness, I am so naughty for manipulating you like this, but I love it so much. And I also need to thank my Patreon subscribers from the week before, Meg Z and Amanda N. All told, we are at 300 subscribers! I mean, come on, it's amazing! And a total of $1,037. And now, for the news you've all been waiting for. I am... or I had a very good beta test last Monday, and my number was 300, which means I'm pregnant. I'm saying it quietly because I'm not very comfortable saying it out loud like that. And oh my goodness, I cried so hard. I cried like a horse, and I don't even know if horses cry. I called my mom immediately. Hi, it's positive.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
It's 300.
What does that mean?
Well, last time it was 5.
So that means it's pretty weak or what?
No, it's good. It's very normal.
Oh, good.
I'm shaking so much. What?
The lower the number, the better?
No, the higher. Last time it was 5. This time it's 300. Are you okay? Are you confused? Am I not being clear?
No, it's okay. I'm standing in a tractor supply.
Mom, why you're not supposed to be in public.
I know. Okay, look, Daddy. I'm gonna hand him the credit card. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah. Go back out.
Where are you? You're in a tractor store?
Yeah, it's a tractor supply in Katona. Oh my god, Daddy, talk to me.
Okay, I'm excited, obviously. It's still, just like any other pregnancy, it's still very early, but it's just a good number. It's a healthy number. And I just wasn't expecting it.
I know.
I can't stop crying.
It's okay, and now it's a really long wait.
I know.
Oh my god. I'm so glad. Okay.
Oh my god. Sorry.
Oh my god.
I'm shaking.
What is the number we present, honey?
That's the amount of human chorionic gonadotropin in your bloodstream. That hormone.
Stupid. I always forget this.
No, that's okay. Okay, time for a refresher. Human chorionic gonadotropin, HCG, is a hormone that is important in the early stages of pregnancy. It's produced by the cells that are surrounding a growing embryo. These cells eventually form the placenta. HCG also maintains the corpus luteum and ensures that it continues to produce progesterone during the first trimester of pregnancy. Well, folks, I just made a discovery, or I had a realization thanks to looking up HCG for the 80th time in my life. And maybe I've had this revelation before, but I did this transfer. I'm taking estrogen, which stops me from ovulating. So because I didn't ovulate, I don't have a corpus luteum, because a corpus luteum is basically the empty follicle that the egg came out of. And the corpus luteum is what produces the progesterone. So that's the reason I've got to inject myself with progesterone for 3 months. That's crazy. Maybe I already knew this. I don't know, but it's a shocker to me right now. So is Dad there? Dad's in the tractor store? In the car?
He's standing in the showroom looking at tractors.
No, he needs to...
Nobody,
you guys should not be... In okay,
there's nobody in there.
Okay, okay.
But I can't. I gotta get him out of there.
Okay, go get Dad out of there. What are you? You're not buying a new tractor, are you?
No. It's a blade. It's all broken. Lawnmower.
Okay.
I'm gonna call you right back.
Okay. tell Dad the good news, and I'll talk to you guys in a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right.
Bye.
And now I'm calling Jessica, my best friend from when I was growing up. She's gonna scream.
Hello.
Hi, what are you doing?
I'm getting ready to poo. You're recording me, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You're going to take that part out.
Can I leave that part in? It's so good. So do you know why I'm recording? What? Are you... Now you're breaking up. Now you're breaking up and I can't hear you.
I'm not breaking up. Don't tell me that.
Oh, my phone died. Oh, hello? Did it die? Hello? Oh, my God. Yeah, it did die, and by the time it got turned back on, I forgot to press record when I told her the good news, so here we are a minute later.
How do you feel?
Feel? I don't feel anything. I have zero symptoms, but I'm shaking. I mean, my doctor called me, and I couldn't tell from her voice. I started crying like a blubbering immediately and shaking, and I'm still shaking, so...
Oh, my God. I'm literally head to toe covered in goosebumps right now. So it's such a good positive.
Last year when I got pregnant and tested, it was 26.
And this is 300.
Well, but, you know, it was also early last time and the year before I was. And today it's a little like 3 days past when I tested the last time, but still.
Okay.
It's still.
But it took a while. Even last time, I remember when we were watching the numbers.
Yeah.
It was taking such a long time even to grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is amazing.
So now it's a long wait and we'll see what happens, but I got a positive and that's really, really good. Are you there? Shit. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, you're crying? Why are you crying all of a sudden?
I don't know. I'm hormonal through osmosis. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, I'm going to cry again. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
I think about you every day. And all the time. And I wanted you so badly. Oh, this is just positive. The positive, such great news.
We're both crying like idiots. Oh, jeez. It's hard, dude.
Oh. When would this baby... Okay,
No. I'm not thinking about it.
I'm not doing that. Okay. I'm trying to get into facts so that I could stop being time.
You're welcome to look into it on your own, but I don't want to know. I mean, honestly, I'm not going to... It might be, like, your birthday. I remember I, like, kind of estimated it a little while ago based on somebody else, but I don't want to know. Okay. But you're allowed to.
Well, if it's around my birthday, anytime then it will be the happiest person ever, because I'm really one of the happiest people I've ever met.
Oh, gosh. That would be really fun. That would be really fun.
It's going to, you know, have me for an aunt.
I know. So exciting.
Feeling your nipples, nothing?
No.
It's strange.
Nothing except I'm feeling burning when I pee.
You burn your tract infection.
I feel like something's been wrong with my urinary tract for like a month. So
you're not tired, your back doesn't hurt, nothing?
No, nothing at all.
Are you when like a normal person would figure out that they're pregnant?
Yeah.
So you're at the point where the person's like, I missed my period, I gotta take a pregnancy test, and then they get a positive test.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything at all.
Oh, you didn't?
You know? No, not any of the nipples or any of the stuff.
Well, one, I did talk to a urologist who's a friend of mine, and she said that it was. Actually, instead of me trying to explain what she said, I just called her up so she could tell us everything that she knows. This is my friend Lee, a.k.a. Dr. Bradley Johnson. She's a urologist, and back in December, when I accidentally put that progesterone vaginal suppository in my urethra and nobody believed me and you all made me feel like a crazy person, she's the doctor that made me feel less insane. She told me she has plenty of patients that accidentally put their suppositories in there all the time.
There are several medications that are given vaginally. And women come in lots of shapes and sizes, and the urethra for most women is immediately just below the clitoris, however you like to say it. But in some women, their urethral opening is more recessed inside, and sometimes the angle can be abnormal.
Does that mean deeper?
Kind of further inside, basically. Yeah.
Also, maybe closer or further from the.
Absolutely. Closer or further or
why am I having a hard time saying the word clitoris?
I know. Now my brain is thinking about it.
But the doctors use that word too? It's not just a sexy word?
No. Yeah. It's actually, that's what it's called.
Okay. I knew that. Just checking.
But it's weird because it's like, you know, your navel is your umbilicus.
Oh.
That's the more closely related to the Latin origin.
Did you also tell me about the tingle in the belly button or no?
Your belly button or your navel is connected for all babies, was connected to your bladder and your intestinal tract, and then eventually degenerates into, for most people, it degenerates away. There's no connection. But in some people, they'll have what's called a urachal, U-R-A-C-H-A-L, remnant.
Uh-huh.
From the original belly button and blood flow to the baby. And so when you put your finger deep enough into their belly button, they'll feel like they have to pee.
Yeah.
And that's what that's from, because that connection is still, in some people, is still there and didn't completely degenerate.
That's me.
So, yeah, so that's very common. There's a lot of people. And when it doesn't degenerate completely, that connection can stay open. So there are children who will leak urine through their navel because
Get that connection never out.
Oh, yes, yes. It's called a urachal sinus.
Oh, my God.
And so that's one of the things that the pediatricians check for when the stump disappears. Uh-huh. They make sure that's what they ask, is there anything leaking or anything coming from their umbilicus after it degenerates, because they want to make sure that connection disappears.
Oh my god.
Because if not, it has to be fixed. They have to close it off.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah.
That is so interesting. Wow. Okay, so we're a little bit off topic, but this subject is fascinating. We talked about it for quite a while, so if you want to hear the rest of it, it's on my Patreon. Now, here's the part about my pee-pee problems.
I'm not sure how we went down that road. You rate the old remnants.
Okay, but the reason I'm cutting to you right now in this episode is because I'm telling a friend of mine that I have to pee all the time. And I told you last week that I have always said, oh, I've got a tiny bladder and I always have to pee. And you said to me, there are no tiny bladders. All bladders will hold as much urine as there is urine. It's the urinary tract and et cetera. I don't know.
Yeah. So there are very few people who truly have a small bladder. And those are people who are born with certain birth defects or have had some kind of trauma where part of their bladder was removed. Mm-hmm. Those are people who truly have a small bladder that doesn't compensate for the volume. But your bladder, like any organ in your body, such as your stomach or your intestines, it's made to hold whatever you put in it, basically, to a limit, obviously.
Right.
But the reason why some people can or cannot hold their urine or they feel like they have to go more often is not necessarily directly related to the fact that the bladder can't hold a certain amount of urine. It's because there is usually either a sensitivity, the nerves that control that sensation are more sensitive. Mm-hmm. We call that functional capacity, and we can do, you know, there's tests we do in the office that you can actually measure what someone's actual functional capacity is. Your bladder wall is a muscle, the detrusor muscle, just like the muscle in your stomach or the muscle in your intestine, and it should be totally quiet as your bladder fills.
Okay.
And when it gets to a certain capacity, and that number is different for most people, but it usually lays somewhere between about 400 and 500 cc's or mls.
Uh-huh.
And that's when the bladder starts to almost twitch and it sends a message to your spinal cord that says it's time to empty. And so it should be totally quiet. And then all of a sudden you get close to that capacity and then the bladder starts saying time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in some people that reflex occurs earlier. It occurs at 300 cc's or it occurs at 250 cc's. And in some people, it'll happen at 100 cc's. You know, they can only hold 2 or 3 ounces or they feel like they can only hold 2 or 3 ounces. And some of that, because it's a sensation, can be modulated through Kegel exercises, through you feel that urgency and you tell yourself, do not go to the bathroom, and you hold and hold and hold. So you kind of train, you can train that muscle just like you can any other muscle.
That holding, I always heard that if you hold your pee, then you'll get a urinary tract infection.
That mostly pertains to like our nurses and our chefs and our women who will hold our urine for a day.
Oh.
They get up in the morning and they pee and then they will hold their urine. Teachers do this also. Oh. And they will hold their urine until 6 o'clock in the evening.
Oh my goodness.
It sounds almost impossible, but there's some people, just like there's some people who naturally have a sensitive bladder and their nerves and that muscle connection is very sensitive. There's some women that it's not, and they can hold their urine.
Wow.
They have this ability, to hold their pelvic floor closed and basically they train themselves to turn off those switches that say go to the bathroom. And over time, if you train your bladder, just like you can train your bladder to hold less or feel less, you can train your bladder to hold more or to feel less.
It's like a dog that's it's like a dog that is spoiled. And my dog, I let my dog pee all day long, like every 5 minutes. But if I were to train my bladder, if I were to hold it for what's a good time amount to hold it?
So a normal frequency is about every 3 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's way longer than me.
Yeah.
I have to pee right now.
Yeah, and depending on who you are, that's a long time or it's not a long time. One of the first things that I tell people to do when they have any kind of voiding dysfunction is what's called time voiding. Just good old-fashioned, like when you're a little kid, you take the kid, you put them in the bathroom, you put them on the toilet, you tell them to sit there.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes. If nothing comes out, you get up, you go about your business until the next time. You're basically training and reinforcing those connections between your spinal cord and your bladder. You know, people joke about they turn the water on, or, you know, every time I see this sign for the bathroom, I've got to go. It is a powerful message that you send to that spinal cord that modulates your bladder function. It's very powerful. So it's surprising how much that helps.
So for somebody that pees too much, you would you start at an hour or 2 hours and work your way up?
Exactly. For someone who's drinking a normal amount of water, you would do the opposite. You would tell them after an hour and you start feeling like you have to go, don't go to the bathroom. Sit and do Kegel exercises basically for about 10 minutes and see if you can turn, you know, hold off going, strengthening their pelvic floor, and see if you can wait another 30 minutes and then see if you can wait an hour such that you can stretch that time out. Because again, you're reinforcing those nerves that are controlling sensation.
I feel like my bladder has been a little screwy since I came back to LA because one, I thought maybe those long drives I was doing and holding my pee for too long, I thought maybe that screwed me up. And then I went to 10 protests. And there were long stretches of time where I had to pee, but I had to hold it because one, I'm not going in any gas stations or
sure.
My car's 4 miles away. There's one time I peed on the side of the road in Beverly Hills.
Hey, yeah,
I went behind a bush, and there was another time in another area where I got to my car and I still had my grandmother's female urinal in the car, and I did that in.
She has one?
She had one, but she never used it before. My mom was like, just take hers. She won't use it.
Oh, my God.
It was nothing more than like going in a bottle. But trying to do that in your driver's seat is nearly impossible. But I did that in a neighborhood in LA because I couldn't go anywhere. Choice. Anyway, the point is, I thought maybe that was causing my bladder maybe I'd given myself a bladder infection because I was holding it so much. But there's no pain.
It is rare for someone to have a bladder infection without any pain, that burning. It's a different kind of frequency. Most women, when they're having a bacterial infection, they feel like they have to go frequently, but it's more of a painful urgency. If they do not go, they feel like, you know, the pain starts to build. Oh. And then when they do go, it burns like the dickens.
Oh, I don't have
That's
that.
That's usually the hallmark of an infection.
I don't have that. No.
So probably it is, you know, bladder dysfunction from you kind of doing things that are not natural to the way your bladder is used to working, basically. It's a dynamic system. Or even in the case of your stomach and reflux, you can eat the wrong thing. You can, you know, certain medications, certain hormones. When people get nervous, you know, it affects, you know, all of the smooth muscle in your body. So when you get nervous, people tend to get heartburn. They tend to get diarrhea. They tend to need to pee. It's affected by, you know, not just kind of what you drink and, you know, things like caffeine and wine, tomatoes, things with citric acid can irritate your bladder in the same way that all of those foods and things can affect your digestion.
Oh, interesting.
So it doesn't surprise me that someone like you who goes to the bathroom a lot, who kind of leans towards the side of frequency, urgency, and those irritative symptoms, if you're forced to hold, you know, unexpectedly your urine, that's going to affect you more. Mm-hmm. The question is, does it go away? Within a couple of days, does it normalize itself? I would say also, though, in your situation, and this is what the black box is, you know, any kind of hormonal input kind of changes the game.
Right.
So I do have a good number of pregnant women who come in and they either can't pee, or when they pee, their back hurts, or they pee all the time, or they're leaking. And some of that can last for a full year after they have their baby, whether it's related to their pelvic floor that is falling or really just the hormones can make a big difference.
Even this early in a pregnancy?
Usually it doesn't happen until about the second trimester, but progesterone and estrogen function to relax the pelvic floor in preparation for the birth, right?
And I'm on progesterone and estrogen.
And one of its purposes is not just to prepare the uterus, but also to relax the tendons and the muscles of the pelvic floor so that the baby can come out.
Yeah.
Well, your muscle doesn't know, it doesn't differentiate between the pelvic floor muscle and the muscle that makes up your bladder, makes up your ureters that drain your kidneys, your stomach. That's what, you know, that's why pregnant women get reflux. That's why they get constipated. Right. That's why they get swelling of their kidneys. Their kidneys don't drain as well as they should because of the effect of their bladder, you know, doesn't empty as well. And it's the effect of the hormones. So it's hard to say in your situation because your hormones aren't as high as I would expect someone, you know, further along in a pregnancy to be, but there's some women who are more sensitive to it.
Yeah.
I do have some here and there that they'll show up around 10 weeks, 12 weeks.
Yeah.
And they will say that I don't feel like I'm emptying my bladder. So I feel like I have to strain or they feel like they dribble, they can't stop their pee. And some of it's because they can't, they're losing the strength of their pelvic floor. The problem is that you can't really say exactly what it is until they have the baby and they come back 6 months later and their hormone levels are normal and everything goes away.
Right.
And you can say, oh, it was from the hormone.
Okay. Yeah.
It's very hard to test that because all women are individual and respond very differently, but it tends to be more dramatic in first pregnancies, women under 25.
That's me.
Women under 30. First pregnancies. And larger babies. Obviously, we it's too early for that. but it's very
tough. Who are you going to call now?
I don't know. I don't want to be too excited anymore. I can't tell you the amount of relief that I just had. And that's why I was shaking so much. If it was a negative, I would have had to figure out what to do next. And I would have to think about it immediately. Like I would have to figure out what kind of treatment I'm doing, where I'm going to do it, if it's going to be on the West Coast or the East Coast. If it's on the East Coast, when do I go there? Do I move there immediately? All the people I was going to have to email and see if they would do like free IVF or something. just trying to figure out and I still might have to do all of those things, but in my mind, I had to do it all tomorrow.
Right. Now you have a little bit of peace.
I have a little bit of peace for a minute. Oh my God. Oh my God. Let's just think good thoughts and see how this goes.
Okay.
So am I allowed to drink coffee or decaf or is that not allowed?
Well, you know way more than I do.
I know. Okay, I've been drinking decaf. I just drank decaf. I hope that's okay.
I drink decaf, yes.
Alright, let's talk about decaf. So, caffeine is broken down more slowly during pregnancy and can cross the placenta entering the baby's bloodstream, where it can't be broken down. Some studies have associated a high caffeine intake during pregnancy with low birth weight, growth restriction, miscarriage, and a higher risk of excess weight during childhood. The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, ACOG, recommends that pregnant women consume no more than 200 milligrams of caffeine from all sources per day. So, 1 8-ounce cup of brewed black coffee contains 96 milligrams of caffeine. Therefore, most guidelines recommend limiting regular coffee intake to about 2 cups. And that's if you're not getting any caffeine from any other sources, like chocolate. Now, most decaffeinated coffees have about 2 to 5 milligrams of coffee per cup, but the decaf that I drink is made with the Swiss water process, which is very fancy. It means there's no chemicals used, and they get the decaf down to 1.8%. So, based on this information, I think I'm good. Okay, baby.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I think I'm going to get some air.
Okay, yeah, go get some air.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I'm happy you're having a baby.
Thank you, sweet Molly.
You're baby.
Thank you, Molly. You're so sweet. I hope I have a little... I love you. I hope I have a little baby just like you, but who turns out to be just like you.
Oh, you would be blessed. You will be blessed.
Okay. All right. I'm going. I love you. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
Did you call Jessica?
Yeah.
Good. Who else did you call? Anybody else?
I haven't called anyone else. I needed to take a break and get some air.
Yeah. Oh, good.
But who should I call?
Well, definitely Nana. Yeah.
Yes.
And, hello?
Hi, Nana. It's Molly.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you, darling?
I'm good. I have good news for you.
What? You're pregnant?
Yes, I had a positive pregnancy test.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, honey.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you feel any changes in your body?
Nothing at all.
No, well, you won't for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know when the effects take place, when your nipples get sore and you get nauseated and all that stuff. I don't know when that takes place.
Yeah, me neither. I think it's different for everybody, but I think a lot of people can feel early pregnancy symptoms, but most people don't feel anything till about week 6, and it's obviously so early still for me. So.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Well, hallelujah.
Oh, my gosh. All of your white lights worked.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe it was my prayers. I don't know which.
Yeah.
Well, what are you up to? Are you going to celebrate and have maybe something?
I'm going to get drunk.
Why not? Why not? Oh, my Lord, honey. Oh, that's so exciting, sweetheart.
Aw, thank you. It's been a long time.
You're going to wait a while to make sure.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Let's just hope everything works out, and oh, wouldn't that be nice?
I'll keep the white lights and prayers going.
Okay, keep it up.
Oh, well, I'm so thrilled, hon. You're so sweet.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope I keep having good news for you with each step.
Yeah, whew. I know you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my golly, honey. Bless you, honey. Well, keep me informed. My love.
I will, Nana, and I'll talk to you very soon. I'll let you know what happens next.
Oh, great, darling. I love you so much.
I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, my love.
Mwah. Bye. Bye, calling Karen now. My sister-in-law.
Oh, Molly.
Hi, guess what?
What? Are you?
We have good news.
You do?
Yes.
Pregnant?
Yes, but I don't like to say that yet.
You don't want to say that?
No, we can say that. But what? I have a positive. I have a good, solid positive.
Whoa.
The beta is 300, which is good.
Great, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I almost texted your mom today. Oh. I'm like, I'll just wait for Tuesday. I'm not going to be one of those. Oh my. So wait, when did you get that test done?
This morning.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. Are you going to, you would like to think this is a secret, but I'm actually sitting here with three very smiling faces right now. Kelly, Billy, and Bill are all here. If they weren't supposed to know, sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Oh, you just have to tell them that they have to be cautious, that they can only be excited for right now.
You can only be excited tonight. Tomorrow's a whole new day. Yeah. Yeah, Ellie said, I'm already not excited tomorrow.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
So what does that officially make you, like, weeks? Like, does that mean you're, like, officially two?
They call it 4 weeks and 2 days, but...
Oh, okay. Because it's from when you would have had your last year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. I've learned a few things on your podcast. Oh, my God. Is this included tomorrow
I didn't include it.
You did it? Okay.
I just didn't want to have to think about it today.
Yeah.
But then they called me, and oh, my God, I was not expecting any good news. I was, like, bracing myself. And Dr. Chung...
Was it Dr. Chung? Yes. Did she call you?
Yes, and I couldn't read it. I mean, like, she's always so nice, so I couldn't tell. And then she...
I want to hear everything, though. She said, "Hi, Molly."
Hi, is this Molly?
Oh, my God. So, wait, did she... you didn't put your recorder on, though?
I didn't want to at first, but... So, I didn't... Yeah. I don't have the beginning of the conversation, and then I was sitting here, so I just pressed record, but you can only hear me crying. Okay, fine. Twist my arm. I'll let you hear my conversation with Dr. Chung. But since you can't really make out what she's saying on the other line, I've re-recorded her words in my own unique voice.
Continue the baby aspirin just for now. And then I want you to come in next week for another beta.
Okay, you don't need a two-day?
We don't need a two-day when it's a good value like this. We don't usually do the two-day. We just bring you back in a week. If you want to come back in 2 days just because of your history, we can do that. Remember last time, your level was 5.6.
I know.
So it's much better. So I'm comfortable waiting a week. But if you want to come in and make sure it's rising appropriately, that's okay.
Might as well wait. Yeah, I think so. If that's what you usually do.
Yes, that's what we usually do. That's what I recommend.
I'm shaking so much right now.
Oh my God, I know. When I saw the results, I did a little dance in my office. So excited. So fingers crossed that it keeps progressing.
Yeah.
I know it's early still, but this looks really good.
Yeah. Is there any concern that it's that high? I mean, aside from the fact that it could be twins?
You know, technically... You were 4 weeks on Saturday. Today, okay. You're 4 weeks and 2 days. So this is exactly where you should be.
Oh, okay. Great.
Not too high, not too low. It's just right.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
I mean, I know it's not... I know it's early, obviously, but that's really good news. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye.
God, oh my God, that's amazing. Wait, so there are two in there?
There's two in there, and we don't know if it's one or two that's made
right. Attached. But they did implant two, though.
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God, did your mother cry?
Well, she was in the tractor supply store with my dad.
So wait, had you taken you had not taken an in-home test,
no.
Right?
No. I was dreading.
Badness. When you saw her number on the caller ID, were you just like wrecked?
Well, my stomach dropped immediately and I go, "Hello." Like, it's sickening every time.
Oh my God. Oh, Molly, my fingers and toes are all crossed. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, my God.
I'm very happy at this moment.
Thank you.
Oh, Molly.
Thank you. Yes, at this moment.
Yes, at this moment. Going with that, I'm very happy at this moment. But I'm feeling really good about it.
Thanks, Karen. Oh, my God. It's been a long fucking ride.
That was Ellie saying, "Love you."
Oh, I love you.
She loves you.
So, what's going on with school?
I feel so honored that you called me.
You're very special. Okay, now I'm calling my brother Adam.
Hello.
Hey, guess what? I have good news.
$600 is coming back.
No.
Oh. Did you sell a show? Wait, hold on. Leave my earphones on. I can't hear you.
Where are you?
I'm in a very, 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 very loud air-conditioned room.
Oh. My guest
room. With the air conditioner cranking. So damn hot. All right, so let me guess. You sold the show.
No, Adam.
Fuck. What? You're pregnant?
Yes.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
Wait, shut the front door. And the back door. Really? Really? I'm so happy for you. Oh, that's so fantastic.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even know that you were in the process right now.
I did a transfer. I did that transfer 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago.
Oh.
Did I not tell you?
No, you didn't.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, I did a transfer 2 weeks ago, and yeah, I've been waiting and been shooting myself up with the progesterone and doing suppositories and. Oh, God.
If I knew how to pray, I'd pray for you.
That's so sweet. I want to go now.
I don't want you to go. I've been sitting in this room coloring all day.
Oh, God. Now, when my brother says that he's been sitting in a room coloring all day, that doesn't mean that he's coloring in a coloring book. He's a colorist. He colors TV and film. So he's the guy that makes the things that you're watching on TV look pretty.
Wow. I love you, and I'm so happy.
Thank you. I love you.
Bye.
Okay, now I'm calling Amanda.
Hi, Molly.
Hi. How are ya?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I have good news.
Oh, I thought you meant. Give it to me, baby.
I got a good beta yesterday.
What's that mean?
That's the blood test.
So what's that? Does that mean you're pregnant?
Yes, yes.
Yo, yay, Molly, yes. Amazing.
Yes, yes. It was 300, which is good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, oh my God. So how do you feel?
Now I feel nothing.
But what about emotionally?
Oh, I feel very good for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy. I'm so relieved. I am so, I was so tired and so scared of all the work I was going to have to do if it was negative.
Oh, God.
And
I
still might have to do that all, but, you know, for the next week, I don't have to think about it. It's just really nice to have something positive happen.
It's amazing. And so what are the next steps? So you're 3 weeks pregnant now? Is that what it is?
I mean, they say 4 weeks and 2 days, but it was only 2 weeks ago, so.
Right, but that's, okay, so now you have another 4 weeks until your ultrasound.
Probably two. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It's good news.
It's such good news. Just to play the let us daydream for just 1 second. Like, what if you're just pregnant and it works out?
I mean, that would be pretty great.
It would be so amazing.
I'm still a little scared to say the words I'm pregnant. That feels a little premature. and using the word baby doesn't sound comfortable for me. And
no.
Somebody asked what my due date is. I'm not comfortable with that part. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, you've been before.
Yeah.
On that road. Again.
No, yeah, I'm not fucking with my brain like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would be pretty great.
Oh, God, it would be so cool. But so now you just play
the
couple weeks, see what happens. But that is so great news.
Couple weeks, yeah. I just woke up to some crazy nightmares. So maybe that's something. Maybe that's a sign.
Am I good?
I was like, I don't know what was going on. There was like young men, not in a sexual way, but like young men in their 20s in their boxer shorts sleeping on my floor, and they were freezing, and I had to like cover them up. And there was crazy shit going on outside, explosions and stuff. And oh, and there was like a large, huge pile of dishes.
Oh my God, that's classic anxiety trip.
And I was trying to explain to them how to recycle all these boys.
I think what that means is you're having boy triplets.
And this is like me and them, and this is us, them in the future, and they're teenagers. Oh my God.
Did you put two eggs in there?
Yeah, there's two eggs in there, so who knows?
Wow. Oh.
But then in this dream, something lifted me up and flipped me, like in somersault in the air, and it was awful and terrifying. And then it woke me up out of the dream. Like this, this force. Oh, and it was. Mm. Ooh.
Anyway. Oh, it's scary.
Yeah, scary. Well,
it's going to be like an up and down couple weeks, but just remember, you have no control. So
you're
on the roller coaster now.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can really do other than like try to keep yourself as calm and relaxed as possible by like doing yoga.
Yeah.
No twist, though.
No twist. Well, I haven't done any exercise since the transfer because they said no strenuous activity, but I should ask what I'm allowed to do now.
Yeah, maybe some walks and a little light yoga. Mm-hmm. I just had this, I told you I had like a little skin cancer.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Well, I just got it removed yesterday. It was horrifying.
What, so it was like basal cell?
Yeah, it was just on the surface. It was just some basal cell.
Okay.
So not a big deal, but you know, I'm like such a chicken about this kind of stuff. Like it's been weighing on me for months, like knowing that I had to go get this excision.
Yeah.
But anyway, I kind of like negotiated with the woman because she was saying like, well, it's just on the surface, but if I'm going to do a full excision, I have to take this much. And it was like this huge section, like this diamond shaped section. Oh. And she was like, and also because it's right between your boobs, you can't walk or exercise for 2 weeks.
Oh no.
I was like, what? Like I'm gonna go lose my mind. So we kind of like talked and she said that she could just do like not sew it up and just kind of take a little circle, but then I might have a scar, more of a scar. But I was like, honestly, like it's an area that no one ever sees. I think I just like I can't have stitches and not be able to move.
Oh, it's so, because of the stitches that she...
Yeah,
oh.
It was because of the stitches. So now I just might have more of a cigarette burn-looking scar than just a line. But, like...
your acting career.
I know, but it's only for topless scenes. Yeah.
You'll have to get a body double.
Yeah, which I'd like anyway. You can do it.
I've got a mole there.
Oh, that's okay. But anyway, so that's what I have this huge bandage on my chest, but I think I can take it off today. But that was just like took a lot out of me yesterday.
Oh my gosh. So what they numbed it with like a needle first?
Yeah.
Oof.
And then it was just kind of gruesome.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you hated that.
So when's your next appointment? Is it in 2 weeks?
No, well, I'm supposed to get another blood test on Monday.
I see. So you'll kind of have a good idea if things are heading in a good direction, even throughout this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think usually...
All right, everybody. Now, it's a week later.
Yeah, a whole week later, and it's time for my second beta. It's Monday. I went to the clinic this morning at 9:30 a.m. and had my blood drawn, and now I'm just sitting here waiting for the results to come in. We'll hear the results at the end of this episode, but to tide us over while we wait, let's cut back to Dr. Johnson, because we actually got to talking about something else that's going on with my body, and it's really weird.
Okay, I have another question for you.
Shoot.
And it might be outside of your purview, and that's the first time I've used that word before. Did I do it right?
Hey, I like it. It sounded very fancy.
Thank you. this one is a little personal, and I'm going to put it out there, listeners. It's personal and and gross. So okay. I'm putting these progesterone suppositories in me every day, twice a day.
The vaginal kinds, right?
Yeah. And you have to put them as deep as you can, as close to the cervix as possible. Okay?
Yes.
So about a week ago, I'm putting it in, and I notice a big lump on the back of my vaginal wall. So I'm like, oh my God, what is this? I have a tumor. And then I push and it moves. And then I'm like, oh my God, that's my poop.
I was going to say, it's your poop.
Right. And so now I'm acutely aware of this, that it's there when it's there and when it's not there, if it's before I've evacuated my bowels or after. But I never noticed it before. And so now I'm wondering if my vaginal wall is fucked and I've got a rectocele. Is that something that you deal with in your field?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
sure.
So can you tell the listeners what a rectocele is?
Okay. So it's pretty amazing when you think about a woman's pelvic floor. Because unlike men, men have what's called a true pelvis. So their pelvis looks like a funnel, and it's bone. And that supports their entire pelvic floor, right? Well, we as women have to push a baby through there. So we can't have all this bone to provide that support. So all of our support of our pelvic floor is muscle and tendons. So in the middle of this muscular bowl, we've got a bladder on the front side of the vagina. You've got the rectum on the back side of the vagina. And then you've got the intestines that are sitting on top of the uterus, right? And all of this is held together by this construct of tendons and supportive ligaments. And in the center of that is the vagina.
Yeah.
So when people say, I feel like my bladder is falling, what's happening is that the supportive ligaments of the bladder in the front are not providing enough support. So the bladder is falling into the vagina.
Yeah.
So they'll see a bulge.
Right.
On the front or the top part of the vagina. If you were laying down, you would see the bladder starting to fall into the vagina.
Could you feel it?
You can feel it. You can see it. It tends to be worse when the bladder is full. But most people, yes, when they have what's called a cystocele, they can see it.
Okay.
Rectocele is the exact opposite. So it's when the rectum starts to fall into the vagina from the backside. And then lastly is the enterocele, which usually only occurs with women who've had a hysterectomy because your uterus normally kind of sits on top. So if you don't have a uterus anymore, because you've had it, so then your intestines can fall down. Yes. And push into it. And that's called an enterocele.
Wow.
So all three of those issues are related to a woman not having as much support. So they tend to have either one with the other.
Right. Okay. So do I have that?
Do you?
Because I've never noticed that before. I mean, if you can feel your bowels, or what is it, your rectum, if you can feel the contents of that through your back wall,
yes.
I mean, is that something you can feel in a healthy vaginal wall?
In your situation, it's probably because of the hormones.
Okay.
Because you're putting a hormone directly against that wall, and it's causing a laxity that I think is a normal physiologic change.
I think that's correct, doctor.
Yes.
I think you're right. Because I'm literally putting progesterone in against my posterior vaginal wall.
Yes. Yes. Because ultimately the question is, do we really think that the ligaments that normally hold your rectum in position have all of a sudden become lax and everything's falling in? Probably not, because the natural history of the natural time course of that is months to years.
Mm-hmm.
So if this has just happened over the last couple of weeks, it's probably directly related to the hormone.
Well, I just thought maybe I just never noticed it before, because I'm not usually, you know, reaching in there so deeply.
Most women notice initially because it causes either constipation, or in the case of the bladder, difficulty voiding.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the first symptoms are because of some dysfunction.
Okay.
And usually in the case of a rectocele, it's from constipation.
Yeah, I don't usually have that.
If there is one, it's probably very slight and is a direct result of those hormones being absorbed at the tissue level.
That was all very interesting. Thank you for giving me all of that.
The one thing I'd like my patients to know how much your urinary system is affected by your behavior, that it is an area that can be modeled and I don't like the word trained, but that is very susceptible to behavioral changes and biofeedback.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people, it makes them feel more empowered that they can make a difference in their own.
Mm.
I will admit, I also have patients who they want a pill. They want a fix.
Yeah.
And there are medicines.
There are?
For completion, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. There are medicines you can take. There are procedures that can be performed. There are surgeries that can be done. And those are for my very severe patients who, you know, they fail medicines, they fail biofeedback, they fail all of the conservative measures.
Uh-huh.
But there are lots of treatments for people who have severe urgency, frequency, urge incontinence. But to start at the beginning, it is a point that I like to make very clear that it's a quality of life issue, and a lot of it can improve with changes in behavior and changes in activity. It's amazing, actually, it's how much that can make a difference.
Yeah, that's good to know.
But I would say in your case, it's going to be a do the best you can until you're past this next stage.
I mean,
because, you know, having babies, it affects everything. You know,
yeah.
Everything will be different anyway, regardless of, you know, how you feel now, how you feel in 3 months, how you feel at the delivery. And some things will go back to the way, you know, you were before you were pregnant, and some things won't. And that's just different for every woman.
Okay. Well, let's just hope I'm still pregnant.
Yeah. Yes, we all are.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Hey, have a good day.
You too. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Well, that was illuminating. Thank you so much, Dr. Johnson, for taking the time to teach me all of that stuff. So interesting. Listeners, like I said earlier, if you want to hear the complete conversation with the doctor, just sign up for the Patreon and give a listen. There's so much fascinating information that I did not know. Okay. Now, listeners, I have heard back from Dr. Chung. And my beta is...
Your call has been forwarded to
a man.
Message system.
There she is. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, good news.
Yeah, keep talking. No pauses.
Oh my God! It's 5,203.
Oh, shit! Hold on. Oh my God! She was at 300. She's now at 5,000. Keep talking.
That's all I got. I got no other information. I'm going to go for an ultrasound next Thursday.
Well, you appear to be pregnant, girl.
I think so. I think it's pregnant.
How did you get from 300 to 5,000?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I was like, that's really high. She's like, that's normal. So
that's normal. Okay.
I mean, you know, in my brain, I'm like, that means it's twins. But I didn't say that, but... You know, I should be so lucky.
Wait a minute. So if you're at 300, is it every day it goes up?
No, it's supposed to double every 48 to 72 hours. So let's say it was on the short side and it doubles at 48 hours. So then that would put us at 600 on Wednesday, 1,200 on Friday, 2,400 on Sunday, and... 5,000 today. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well,
congratulations, my love. You're pregnant.
Well, I'm still going to be careful saying that, but yeah, you're right. I am.
Well, just between you and me and Dad, you are quite pregnant.
And all of my listeners.
Oh, Oh my god.
Okay. Whew. Well, I gotta call Jessica.
Oh yeah, Jess.
She's dying.
Oh, I love you so much.
Love you, Mama. Talk to you soon.
5 digits. I don't love you.
5 digits. Oh my god. Oh boy. Okay. Yeah.
Hello?
Hi, are you pooping?
Oh, no.
Okay, Jessica, I have good news.
You do?
Yes. Oh my god. I'm shaking again.
Did a double?
Jessica, it's 5,000 something.
The number that I told you had to get bigger, not only that, it exploded. Exploded. She's like majorly pregnant now.
Whoa. Careful.
But she is definitely pregnant. You know what I mean? Like,
wait. Oh my god. Jess, I'm not definitely pregnant till I know everything's okay.
I know, but they're very resilient children.
I don't want them to get sad.
They won't.
That little gasp just now was so precious.
Aww.
Oh, now I'm going to cry. Okay. Whew.
Any symptoms?
No, except I can't sleep.
Okay, that's a symptom.
But I think it's just because I have to pee all the time.
That's a symptom?
Yeah, but... But I always have to pee. I've just had really bad sleep since last week.
Because you're, on edge.
I am on edge. I cannot sleep. I, like, wake up, like, 3 or 4 times a night, and I can't fall back asleep. And, yeah, I am on edge. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What's your next step? What happens now?
I have an ultrasound next Thursday. Yeah.
That's not something where you would hear the heartbeat yet, right?
It is.
Oh, wow. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Okay, baby. Thank you. I gotta edit my podcast and take a walk again. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. I'll let you know if I get sore nipples.
Okay. I love you.
Okay. Bye, honey.
Bye.
I think that's all I can handle for today. No more phone calls. Goodbye. Wow. Wow. Wowie. Wowie. Wow. Wow. Oh, this music is making me emotional. Oh, my goodness. Ooh. I'm fine. I just ordered a pizza. Oh, my gosh. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I'm so happy. Oh my god, I can't even make a sentence? Okay, listen, you know what to do. Email me at spermcast@gmail.com. Send me a voicemail or text message at 323-741-1818. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at spermcast. Go to the website at spermcastpod.com. Rate, review, and subscribe if you're a new listener. And of course, you can always support the podcast by subscribing to the Patreon at patreon.com/spermcast. On the Patreon, you'll be privy to all of my real-time updates, plus lots of exclusive content. And if you want to support the podcast financially, you can just Venmo Molly-Hawkey. And if you're interested in my fertility consultation services, just email me and I'll send you all my information. I think that's all I have in me for today. Love you all so much, and I'm so happy that you're here with me. Thank you for sending me and continuing to send me your love and your positive vibes and your thoughts and your prayers. I'm soaking it all in, and it means the world to me. I'll see you next week. Love you. Bye.
Menopause is coming, and the men have all left town, but I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. 39 and single, can someone help me out? He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay to straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite, I just need sperm, sperm cast.
An Erios Production.
production.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.